I wanted to focus on this very last Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah, the last Shabbos of the year, Parshas Nitzavim, speak a little bit about the significance of this Shabbos, and perhaps approach Shabbos in general. So you could say that this is a Hashkafa Shira, Busa Shira about Shabbos. And we all need Chizuk and Shabbos, but we want to focus on the significance of Shabbos. Let's begin with the Gemara, the Sugya of Kriyas HaTorah at the end of Masechet Megillah on Daf Lamed Aleph. Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Ezra Tikein Lam LeYisrael, Shiukorim Klolos Shebetaris Kohanim Kodim Atzeres. So we finish up Sefer Vayikra before Shavuos. The Shemishneh Torah and the Klolos of Parshas Kisavo and Sefer Dvarim Kodim Rosh Hashanah before Rosh Hashanah. My Taima, Omar Abaye, Itema Reish Lakish, Kadesh Tichle, Hashana, Vikiloseha. So that we want to read the Klolos, the curses, on last year's Cheshbon, and not take them into the new year. And Tosfos writes that we want to be Mafsik, and we'd like to read Likros, Shabbos Echad, Kodem Rosh Hashanah, Beparsha, Shalotehei Medaberes Beklolos. In other words, we're going to create a Shabbos that buffers between the Klolos and Rosh Hashanah. That's going to be this coming Shabbos, Nitzavim. And we're pushing away the Klolos of Parshas Kisavo from Rosh Hashanah. I want to share with you an insight of Rav Tzadik HaKohen, the Pre-Tzadik, and he says something about Shabbos. He says Shabbos is kolel within it all the brachos of the week to come, all of the sanctity of the days following Shabbos are inherent in the Shabbos beforehand. And that's what it means, v'kidashto mikol hazmanim. And therefore, every Shabbos before a moed has within it some element of the kedusha of that moed that falls out in the week following Shabbos. He gives the example of the Shabbos before Pesach, which we call Shabbos HaGadol, and the greatness of that Shabbos is because it has the kedusha of Pesach, which comes after it in that Shabbos itself. Which is, of course, Pesach is the Rosh Lamoadim. And then he gives the example of the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. That Shabbos has within it the Kedusha of Rosh Hashanah. And in a sense, the brachos of the new year, which begin on Rosh Hashanah, are already inherent. They are embedded in the Shabbos that comes before Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, we have to be sure that before the Shabbos that precedes Rosh Hashanah, which in our case is this coming Shabbos, before that we read Parshas Kisavo, last Shabbos, in order to read the Klolos and end with them, so that this coming Shabbos, following Kisavo, Parshas Nitzavim, could have within it all the Kedusha and all the Bracha of Rosh Hashanah that's going to fall within that week. So just as an introduction to our discussion tonight, we point out this very profound insight of Rav Tzadik HaKohen, which explains why we have this wedge between Kisavo and the Shabbos that comes after Kisavo. That wedge, the Shabbos after Kisavo, is going to be the introduction to Rosh Hashanah, and not only that, it's going to contain within it the Kedusha of Rosh Hashanah, the Bracha of Rosh Hashanah, all the Kedusha and the Bracha that comes in the week to come is all, in a sense, propelled by the Shabbos that came before it. So it's absolutely critical, says Reb Tzadik, that we get rid of the Klolos, that's in Parshas Kisavo. Now we have the wonderful Shabbos of Parshas Nitzavim, which, as we'll see, is the Parsha of Shabbos, it's the Parsha of Tshuva, and that Parsha will propel itself and all its Kedusha into the week to come, into the year that follows Rosh Hashanah. It's going to be a year of Bracha, Ken Yiratzal. And I'd like to share with you now an insight, perhaps, into the nusach of the major slicha that we're going to recite this Motzei Shabbos, the Motzei Menucha Kidamnucha Tchila. In other words, when we begin slichos, we begin slichos with Motzei Menucha. We've experienced the Shabbos Menucha with all its brachos in a very profound way, Yemir Tzashem this coming Shabbos in a few days' time. And that experience of Menucha Shabbos, of Kedusha Shabbos, which penetrates into our hearts and our souls, is meant to propel us into the period of Rosh Hashanah that we begin with Slichos on Motzei Shabbos. So we've already begun, if you will, the process of Rosh Hashanah with this Shabbos, B'motzei Menucha Kidamnucha Tchila. And here at this point, I'd like to share with you, as I will during the course of our discussion, some insights of the Gera Chassidus, the dynasty of Ger. And I want to begin with the insight of the Chidushi Arim. We're going back, he was the grandfather of the Sfas Emes. And on the famous Chazal in Shabbos, Il Mole Mishamrim Yisrael Shtei Shabbosos Miyad Nigolim, that the observance of these two Shabbosos have the power to bring about the Geula, claims the Chidushi Arim. What are these two Shabboses? These are the two Shabbosos before Rosh Hashanah. On one Shabbos, we're finishing up last year with all its klolos, and we're saying goodbye to those klolos. And the next Shabbos contains within it the Kedusha, the sanctity, and the bracha of the week to come, of Rosh Hashanah, and the year to come. So obviously, you know, Rabbi Goldstein Schlita from South Africa is organizing an international observance of the Shabbos. I would recommend maybe this coming Shabbos. Right, it's a little too late to arrange that. But this Shabbos has within it the bracha that's going to propel us for the entire year to come. And before I get back to some of the Hasidic giants, which I hope to do, I want to discuss with you a beautiful presentation about Shabbos and its relationship to Rosh Hashanah, which I found in the Aruch Laner. The Aruch Laner of Yaakov Ettlinger was a German Jew. He lived in the early 19th century. He was the Rebbe of Rav Shimshel Fall Hirsch, and he was a genius of geniuses. I mean, as I get older, I think of all the achronim that I'm just this fall from, it's always the Aruch Laner. But in this case, the Aruch Laner in his Pirush al HaTorah, a little bit later on in the Chumash in Parshas HaZinu, gives a beautiful mashal to explain the relationship between Shabbos, the observance of Shabbos, and Rosh Hashanah. He creates a mashal. Part of this I will say bal peh, and part of it I'll read from the text. He says the following. Imagine the situation of an eved lamelech, and he violates the rule and the command of the melech. The melech in this case is very angry, and he immediately wants to put this man in front of the court. He should be condemned and punished severely. And of course, when the judges come, they understand very well that the king would like to judge this Eved with the laws of strict judgment, of Midas Adin, and have no compassion over him. And this Eved, this Tsar in the king's court, is looking for someone who could come and be Melitz Yosher and put some sort of defense argument on his behalf, because otherwise he's in deep, deep trouble. But anyone he could approach just simply dropped out. They didn't want to get involved. They realized the wrath of the king. And so, what did they do? What did he do, this Tsar? The only person who he could turn to was his own wife. And his own wife, as it turns out, works in the king's court. She has her connections. And he tells his wife what's going to happen. Would she be willing to come and be his Melitza Yosher. And of course she responds in the positive, and she consoles her husband, and she tells him, don't be nervous, don't be full of anxiety, we will move this forward, and I will come into the king's courtyard, and I'll gather together all my beloved friends, and I'll make a declaration in front of the court on your behalf. I'll be Melitz Yosher. And that's exactly what happened. The day of judgment came, and she stood in front of the court, and others supported her. And at the end, they found him with chus. He was let off the hook. He was vindicated. In a short while, another Eved, who is also a sar in the king's court, he too sinned against the king. And it was more or less the same kind of violation as the first one, the previous one. And the king again sent him to judgment. And this second sire was again at loss. Who could come to defend him, to put forth a good word on his behalf? And he looked at this one and that one. And finally again, out of desperation, he turns to his wife. But unfortunately, in this particular case, his relationship with his wife and the way he treated her was not very positive, to say the least. And I'll read to you the language of the Aruch HaNer. He writes, Heshiv gam ishto, she said also that she would come. Omnom, however, this sar was an ish, Zaf the Kotzef. Velo Shomer Karoy Avas Ukvod Ishto. He did not understand and appreciate what it means to love a wife and to respect her. And in his anger, he actually beat her up in a cruel way. And she had even, blotches, Simone Achzarius, that anyone could see. She had scars on her face. But nevertheless, out of compassion for her husband, she accompanies him to the court in order to stand up and offer defense. But as soon as she spoke, the king saw, he noticed the scars on her face, and it was clear to the king that someone was giving her makis. And he asked her, my high, almaza v'almaza. And she was, his chalchala isha, she was overwhelmed by fear in the presence of the king. And she tried to come up with a quick alibi, but it wasn't successful. And one of the people, one of the observers in the jury in the court, got up and he said, these simonim, these scars on her body, come from the abuse of her husband, who's very cruel. And when the king heard that, he was amazed that her husband could do this to his wife. And he speaks to the wife, he addresses her, the king, in front of the court. And he says to her, Le'isha sher elelo, to the man that has this, he's paraphrasing a pasuk in Tanakh, Nase sanegar, you want to defend such a person? Such a cruel individual? And the king said, Hare rak lekategar, he says, the best you could do here on our behalf is to play the role not of a defense attorney, but rather of a kategar of the prosecution. And as a result, the mishpat against this Russia was very, very severe. So again, to summarize the mashal of the Aruch HaNer, everything depends on how we treat our wife, respectively our wives, right? And in the first case, Baruch Hashem, he had a good relationship, he honored his wife, and he was successful in din. In the second case, he did not, and he lost the judgment. Says the Aruch HaNer, the nimshal is our relationship to Shabbos. And he quotes the Chazal that say that there are 7 days of creation, the first 6 days, each one of which has a ben zug, a bat zug. Shabbos is left without a bat zug. She doesn't have, so to speak, a marriage partner. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that this day of Shabbos is the bat zug of Klal Yisrael. There's a marriage relationship between Knesset Yisrael and the Shabbos. And that's why when the Torah says, Osi beniu vein bnei Yisrael yolam, it means that this covenant is almost a marriage relationship. And when we want to come in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam and plead our case, and we're coming up to the Day of Judgment very quickly on Rosh Hashanah, what do? Who's going to plea on our behalf? And here the Aruch HaNer says something fascinating. He says in most cases, we have a great Sanhedrin, and we don't need the Shabbos. And that Sanhedrin is the Shofar. Because Chazal tell us that the Shofar on Yom HaDin, the Tkiyos Ma'arbe Vesasatan, confuses the Kategor, the prosecution, and the Zchus of the Tkiyos, when the sound of the Shofar rises on high, that gives us a defense and protects us in judgment. However, what do in the case, which happens frequently, when Shabbos corresponds, or I say it the other way around, when Rosh Hashanah coincides with Shabbos? And Chazal made a takana to establish that there's no shofar blowing in such a case. We suspend the mitzvah of shofar. There won't be any tkiya to be ma'arve vesasotan. Says the Aruch HaNer, in such a case, on Rosh Hashanah Shechaliyos b'Shabbos, all we have as a Malamed Tzchus, as a Sanhedrin, is the Shabbos itself. We don't have the shofar, but we have a very good replacement, a Bat Zug of Knesset Yisrael, namely the shofar. And the Shabbos itself becomes the Sanhedrin on behalf of Klal Yisrael in such a case. But he says, Bamedvar Mamurim, when is the Shabbos willing to stand up in front of the heavenly courts and defend the people of Israel, both as a collective entity and as an individual? That's only Dafka calls Machi Yisrael Mekayimim Es HaShabbos. We're very careful to be Mechabi, to honor the Shabbos. It's our Batzug. If we mistreat the Shabbos and we undermine and desecrate the covered Shabbos, and this has an impact on the street of Klal Yisrael, is Eich Tasa HaShabbos Sanegar Lahatzik Mishpatenu, we're in deep trouble. And he quotes the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Tesvav Amid Beis. The Gemara quotes Rabbi Yitzchak, Kol Shana Shein Tokim B'Tchilasa Marin Lahem Besofa. If there's no shofar blowing at the beginning of the year, because Shabbos coincides with Rosh Hashanah, then it's going to be a bad year for us. We don't have a schus, we don't have a sanegar. Says the Aruch HaNer, that all depends. And he says historically, it's very fascinating. If you ask about a year in Jewish history where Rosh Hashanah coincided with Shabbos, he gives four examples, and they divide up into two groups. He says that on the year of the Churban Bayis Rishon and the Churban Bayis Sheni, Rosh Hashanah fell on Shabbos. He has sources in Yerushalmi. I mean, his Bekiyas is phenomenal. But he says that there were two consecutive years of Klal Yisrael in the Midbar in which they stood in judgment. The Chet HaEgel and the year of HaKomas HaMishkan, which was shortly afterwards. He says on those 2 years, it was also Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos, and yet those were great years because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mechaper on Bnei Yisrael. And those years were written for good and for Tova. So basically he says, what is it? When Shabbos coincides with Rosh Hashanah, is it a good Siman? Or is it a bad Siman? You know, Rabbi Yitzchak in the Gemara says it's not a good thing. He says it all depends. If it's our Batzug that we machabed, and the relationship is a solid one of kavod, of honor, then Shabbos comes as our Batzug to be malamid zchus on Klal Yisrael. And that's great. But if Chas V'Sholom, we weren't machabed the Shabbos, we were not dedicated and loyal to the Shabbos, he says the opposite is going to occur. And Shabbos refuses to defend us, and we're left with the Rosh Hashanah without any Sanhedrin, because we don't have neither the shofar nor the Shabbos. And based on this beautiful presentation, The Aruch HaNer wants to tackle a very difficult, a famous Medrash, but a very difficult one to understand. The Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah, at the very beginning of the Torah, following the murder by Cain of Hevel, describes what happened to Cain after he left his judgment. Yatza Cain Sameach. Cain walked out of the judgment and he felt secure. And he confronts, he meets other Arishon. Other Arishon says, Ma nasas bidincha. Amalei, he tells other Arishon, Asisi tshuva v'nis pasharti. There was a compromise with HaKadosh Baruch, I guess you'd call it plea bargaining, and HaKadosh Baruch accepted my tshuva. Hischil Adam Arishon l'tapeach al panav. Adam Arishon bangs himself on the head. The Omar, and he declares, Kachi kochat shel tshuva? Is that the power of tshuva? V'lo yisi odea, I was unaware of it. Miyad immediately Omad lezamer, he started singing Mizmar Shir Lioma Shabbos. Now we know that Adam Arishon sinned on the day of his creation, which was on Yom Shishi, on a Friday. But it seems very odd that Dafka on Shabbos, he's singing a song of Shabbos, you know, sing the song of Shabbos. Why? Because of what he learned from Cain about the power of tshuva. What connection is there between the power of tshuva and Shabbos? Mashayach Mizrach Shilion Shabbos L'tshuva. V'od, and furthermore, what does he mean when he says Kachi Kochat Shel Tshuva? In other words, he knew about tshuva, but he didn't understand the measure and the power of tshuva until he heard from Cain. So what's that all about? So the Aruch HaNer quotes the Gemara at the end of Shabbos in Perikol Kisvei. The Gemara says, "Kolam Shabbos Shabbos Kilchasa, Afilu Oved Avodah Zarah Kidor Enosh Mochlin Lo Shenemar Ashrei Enosh Yaseh Zos Shomer Shabbos Mechalo." The greatness of Shabbos, says the Gemara, is its power to achieve, to generate mechila, to atone for our sins. We begin to appreciate the great reward for being careful and meticulous about observing the Shabbos. Says the Aruch HaNer, let's analyze two experiences that man undergoes. Number one, the experience of tshuva, and number two, the experience of Shabbos. Both will bring about kapara, but ostensibly, there's no relationship, there's no parallel or similarity, common denominator between these two experiences. Ah, says the Aruch HaNer, if we analyze tshuva and we analyze Shabbos, we'll see that they're both very similar. How is that? He says that God in His chesed gave us the opportunity, the power to do tshuva. And you know what that power is? It's the power to become, and I'm quoting the Aruch HaNer, a birya chadasha. A complete transformation of identity. That's the chesed of Hashem. And if not for that chesed, according to strict justice and law, nefesh ha-chotas hi tomus. The pasuk testifies that man through his sin forfeits his right to live. Therefore, how does tshuva work to save a person from the bezdin? In a bezin shel mata, if he violates a sin and he has to get malchus or mises bezin, tshuva is not going to help because the bezin shel mata operates only strictly within the rules of justice. However, in the bezin shel mala, where the Torah, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave man the power to be mischadesh as a birya chadasha, in which he could say that don't judge me for my past sins because I'm a new person. Whereas the Rambam says in Hilchos Tshuva, Ba'ashav Meshaneh Shmo, Eini Oso Aish. That's the meat of Chesed. That's the essence of Tshuva. Fine, wonderful, beautiful. Halavai, we all, each and every one of us should experience that transformation of personality, of identity. What does it got to do with Shabbos? Shabbos, say Chazal, is me'ein olam haba. It belongs to a different world. It doesn't belong to the ordinary weekday of the 6 days of Masa. Chazal tell us that Shabbos corresponds to the Elef Hashvi, right, assuming the world is going to exist for 6,000 years, and then there'll be the Geula, there's a world of Olam Haba, of a different kind, a different universe, and that's Shabbos. Says the Aruch HaNeir, you know what Shabbos is about? It's not just the abstention from Malach, it's more than that. Every Hirhur and every Machshava, even in the world of thought, should be directed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Torah, to mitzvahs, to holiness and spirituality. That's the Shabbos. Even our physical acts of Achila and Shasiyah, which seem at the face of it to be so disconnected with spirituality, they have to be converted into a different kind of Achila and Shasiyah, of a spiritual nature, the Suda Shabbos. If it's eaten for the purpose of Shabbos, of Oneg Shabbos, is an Oneg Me'ein Olam Haba. It has the Tainug of this world, which is elevated to the Tainug of the next world. In essence, he says, if one experiences the Shabbos properly, it's a different chiyus, it's a different kind of life, or a force of life, than it is during the rest of the week. It's a chiyus of Olam Haba. And therefore, says the Aruch HaNeir, on a weekly basis, one day out of the week, we leave Olam Hazeh and we enter into Olam Haba. And therefore, Kol HaShomer Shabbos Kilchasa, as the Gemara says in Perek Kol Kisvei, if we experience the Shabbos Kilchasa, in which it is completely makif, you know, it takes over every dimension of our life, is then the Gemara says, is mochlin lo, even if he was guilty of very severe sins, he's guaranteed mechila. Why? Because as he enters into another world, he changes his identity. He's no longer the person who sinned, and therefore he's granted mechila. Therefore, both in the experience of tshuva at its highest, and the experience of Shabbos in a meticulous way, a man becomes a birya chadasha, and that's the key to mechila. That's why Shabbos plays such an important role in Mechila and is so similar to Tshuva, because Shabbos is an experience of Olam Haba. Says the Aruch HaNeir, if that be the case, we begin to understand the mistake of Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon knew about Tshuva, but Adam HaRishon thought that Tshuva is only meaningful when man enters into Olam Haba, when he leaves the world of din, of justice, enters into a new world, then he becomes a birya chadasha. But is it possible to become a birya chadasha and achieve genuine, full-fledged tshuva in this world, in Olam Hazeh? And the answer is what he heard from Cain, that Cain was spared the terrible punishment that he deserved because he transformed himself through tshuva. Tshuva gives you the opportunity to transform yourself in this world. Tshuva doesn't belong to the next world. And therefore, Adam HaRishon understood that Shabbos likewise has the power of Mechila, Mochlin Lo HaKol Avonosav, is because Shabbos belongs to this world. I can transform Olam Hazeh one day out of the week into Olam Haba. And at the end of this beautiful presentation, which explains why Adam HaRishon danced and formulated Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos, he ends with a postscript, a kind of Musa Shmuz in two lines. He says, Al Kain therefore, Lo Yekel HaAdam Bi Surei Shabbos, a person should not be flippant about Shabbos, you know, come up with all sorts of Eterim, you know, this is Mutta and that's Mutta. Ubifrat, and certainly, how much more so in Isurim Chamurim, outright violations of Shabbos. El Yikayim es HaShabbos B'Shlei Musa Ubechol Inyana. His entire experience of Shabbos should be a different human experience. Me'ein Olam Haba. V'Yischadesh, and then he will be brand new. K'nesher Ne'urav L'Taro Mikol Avonosav, to purify himself of all his sins. And if that be the case, Rabosai, we need the Shabbos desperately. The parsha that we're going to read this week, which is the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah, Parshas Nitzavim,
contains the command of tshuva, v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha. Says the Chidah, very famous, if you take the letters of the word v'shavta and just change the vowels, it's the same as v'shabbos. V'shabbos ad Hashem Elokecha. If our experience of v'shabbos is ad Hashem Elokecha, then and only then is it possible to fulfill the pasuk kipshuto v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha. He says, remez ki atshuva lo tikon, there's no possibility of succeeding in tshuva im lo b'shmira Shabbos, because our sins bring us into a world of chet and tumah internally and externally. The only way of extricating ourselves from that world of chet is through Shabbos. Through a meticulous observance of Shabbos, is v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha should be read v'shabbos ad Hashem Elokecha. And I want to share with you the insights of Rav Meir Simcha Mitvinsk. He very often in his Meshech Chochmah LaTorah addresses the significance of Shabbos. And if you have any doubts about it, Ayin v'sefer Dovei Meisharim. Says the Meshech Chochma in Parshas Emor, asking the question why Shabbos is so upfront in the Parsha of the Moadim. He says the following: Reb Yitzchak tells us, as we saw earlier in Rosh Hashanah Tezayin, Kol Shana Shein Tokim B'Tchilasa Marin Lo B'Sofa. My time with Dilo Ma'arbev Sota. So Tosfos right there points out that what does it mean Kol Shana Dilo Token ba lo ain't token b'tchilas. It's not the case, as we would think, that Rosh Hashanah coincides with Shabbos. That can't be, says Tosin. He quotes the Bahag. Lav de mikla b'shabasa, not because Rosh Hashanah coincided with Shabbos. Eladis yalid unsa. There was some onus that happened, and they couldn't blow the shofar. That onus is a simon min hashamayim that we might be facing chas shom a rough year. But the Meshech Chochma understands that there was a Havamin in Tosfos and there was a Maskon in Tosfos. The Havamin was that even in the case where Chazal established the Gzeir the Rabbah that we cannot blow the shofar on Shabbos of Rosh Hashanah, even that's included in the words of Rabbi Yitzchak. The Maskon is no. It cannot be. And the Meshech Chochma analyzes the dialogue here within Tosfos and the Chiddush of the Bahag. He says, you know what? If Shabbos coincides with Rosh Hashanah and there's no shofar, that's not my fault. Can I be faulted for a situation that was foisted upon me against my will? We have a principle that ones rachmana patre. A person is alleviated of guilt and punishment insofar as there were mitigating compelling circumstances beyond his control. The answer is, what was the Havamina here? And I think the Aruch HaNer took it as a maskana. Is that tkia, the blowing of shofar, is not just a mitzvah saseh, that for sure it is. But it's much more than that. It's a refuah. It's a healing process. There's something inherent in the blowing of the shofar that has a certain power to it, above and beyond its mitzvah. So as far as the mitzvah is concerned, I didn't do the mitzvah because Chazal told me that I'm enjoined from blowing the shofar on this day. That I can't be punished for, that's onus. But he says, what happens to the case of a sick person? And the physician prescribes a certain medicine, and through no fault of his own, he cannot take the medicine. He says, look, my friend, you didn't take the medicine, you're not going to survive. And the refuah and the zikaron that comes in front of the heavenly court through the tkia of shofar, if it's lost, then we don't have the power to achieve that zechus bedin and the irv of satan. He says, what do we do? Nevad v'nedar Zikaron HaShofar Lefanov, and therefore it's like the case of a choleh who didn't take his medicine. Shabbos, he says, is so powerful of a medicine, and now he gets into the Maskon of Tosfos, that we can begin to understand why in such a case we have a Sanegar, we have the equivalent to substitute for the shofar in a situation where Shabbos coincides with Rosh Hashanah. He says, you know what? The shofar is the shofar shal ayil. Why the shofar shal ayil? Why is it the power of the ayil that reminds Hashem of the Akedah has this inherent power to bring about Zechus B'din? And the answer is, he says, because what Yitzchak Avinu was able to do at the Akedah, when he sacrificed himself, is something that we as his descendants are able to do because we inherit this. This is the legacy of Yitzchak throughout Jewish history. Limsaras Atzman, we are able for the sake of Hashem to give ourselves lecherpa, even if it's humiliation in front of the nations. Lamaka, they beat us up. Lebiza, Avor Hashem Yisparach, because Shem Hashem Nikra Aleim. This is all a repercussion and a fallout of the Zchus HaKedah Shebanav Okdim. We are able to dedicate ourselves to the life of Hashem and to bind ourselves and remove all the taivos and all the natural human desires and instincts. And life to us means Avas Hashem, the love of God and His Torah. We're willing to give up everything for that love. Says Rav Meir Simcha, that achievement of Shofar Shel Ayil is achieved through Shabbos itself. On a day of Shabbos, when we dedicate ourselves to Hashem, we leave all of this world. Imagine, if I can, I'm just embellishing the words of Rav Meir Simcha, a person who takes a tremendous financial loss as a result of observing the Shabbos. Imagine the situation of Jews who came to the shores of New York 100 years ago, and if you don't come in Saturday, don't come in Sunday. And very few were capable of literally starving in the streets of New York in order not to violate the Shabbos. That's a tremendous act of Kiddush Hashem. We come to sanctify the name of God through our experience of Shabbos. If you'll ask me, will the Satan be able to be mekatreg on the day of Rosh Hashanah when we cannot blow the shofar because we're observing the Shabbos? Says Rav Meir Simcha, absolutely not. He asks the question, yekatreg asotem v'lo yikonsu zichronenu lefnei avinu shebashamayim letova? He says no, because on Shabbos, when we testify to the Kedusha Shmo Yisbarach, and we're so afraid that if we blow the shofar, somebody might come to carry the shofar Dalet Amis Brishus HaRabim, or take it from Shisarab to Shisayachid Chalila. Therefore, we're willing to sacrifice the mitzvah of shofar and the Cheftah Shel Shofar, the blowing of the shofar with all its power, because we sacrifice for Shabbos, for Hashem, for Kiddush Hashem. If that be the case, then he gufa, Masha Einonu Tokim B'Shofar V'Rosh Hashanah Shechalias B'Shabbos, say gufa, Akedah Ruchanit, it's a sacrifice on a spiritual level, Mufleget, very profound, far-reaching, Moel Liratzos Otanu, this will bring us Ritzui in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kemoshe Meratzah Zikron HaShofar. And therefore, Tosfos' maskana, his conclusion in the name of the Bahag, is that what Rav Yitzchak is referring to is a case where we weren't able to blow the shofar for this reason or that reason, but certainly not the case where, because of our observance and our care to be Shomer Shabbos, we left out the shofar for the sake of Shabbos, demonstrating how we are Shabbos Yidden, we are true Shomer Shabbos. We are dedicated to Kiddush Hashem. And that Shabbos is the same Shabbos that, as we started with, in the name of Rav Tzadok HaKohen, and the name of the Chidush HaRim, is going to have an impact on the week to come. And in the case of this year, Parshas Nitzavim VeYelech, it's going to have a Kedushas Rosh Hashanah with Bracha that's going to impact in Yitz Hashem on the year to come. I want to share with you an insight of the Munkacher Rebbe, Zichrono Livracha, one of the earlier Hasidic movements, in his Shari Yisachar. He focuses on a phrase in the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah Chavtes Amid Beis. The Mishnah says, Yontif Shal Rosh Hashanah Shechalios B'Shabbos. Why did the Mishnah have to say Yontif Shal Rosh Hashanah Shechalios B'Shabbos? Why did the Mishnah simply say Rosh Hashanah Shechalios B'Shabbos? And the Mishnah goes through the deep differences where we do blow in the Beis Din and in the Big Dush, and where we don't blow, etc., etc. But what's the addition here? Yontif. Yontif means a day of Simcha, right? Yontif we associate with Simcha. And he says the following.
The Gemara tells us that we don't recite Hallel on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur because Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei Mason Psuchim Lefanav. We are overwhelmed, as the Rambam codifies it in Hilchos Chanukah Perek Gimel, with fear, with Emas Hadin, it's a day of judgment, and therefore our Simcha is somewhat curtailed. It's not a full-fledged Yontif that can engender the reading of Hallel. Says the Rebbe, but there is one occasion that repeats itself, obviously, within the calendar year of the Jewish calendar, in which Rosh Hashanah is a Yontif. Again, he doesn't paskin that we should say Hallel, but Yontif shall Rosh Hashanah shechalios v'shabbos. Dafka, because we don't blow the shofar, but rather we experience the Shabbos, it becomes a Yontif for us. We are absolutely guaranteed zchus b'din. It's very similar, you know, Rabbi Meir Simcha was a Litvak, and he came to the conclusion that the power of Shabbos can replace that of Shofar, in the case of Shabbos Rosh Hashanah. And now we're learning from a Chassidish Rebbe that on a day in which we don't blow Shofar because it's Shabbos, we are guaranteed that that day is a Yontif and everything is going to turn out beautifully. He says, Chazal bitlu shofar b'shabbos. Wait a minute. He says, let's ask the following question. Shabbos is great, but we're mechal Shabbos for pikuach nefesh. If there's a suffix sakana, we override the Shabbos. He says, what greater suffix sakana could there be for us, each and every one of us as individuals, if a klal Yisrael, than the case of foregoing the shofar, which is going to bring us the schus of Akedas Yitzchak, the Irbuv Satan. My gosh, our lives are in danger. We're in the balance. Mi yichyo mi yamos. Read through Nisan and Tokev. So we're going to forego on shofar for the sake of Shabbos? What are Chazal doing to us? He says, to be gozer exera, this is the exera de Rabba, levatel tki a shofar b'Shabbos, a shofar which is matzil misakonis nefashos, how could the Chacham possibly do such a thing? Only a Chassidish Rebbe could ask that question. But the answer is profound. He says, Nirul Yashiv, Kevan Shinim Noim Litkoa, why are we enjoined from blowing the shofar? Machmas Sha'asru Lonu Chachamim. The great giants, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolim, that made this takoda, or the Chacham, it depends how you learn Rabbah, if he was Mechadish or not, is then HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to save us from judgment. Because it cannot be that the Chachamim are responsible for us failing in judgment. There cannot be, E.F. Shaliyot, he says, Shum Gzera Ra, Chas V'Shalom, that a Takola came from the Chachamim. We have the greatest Pischon Peh against the Mekatreg. Because if the Mekatreg, as our prosecution, succeeds on Rosh Hashanah, it's because we didn't blow shofar. Is we're going to come and claim yesh lanu hitztadkus v'tainu tfil chachamenu zal? Hey, you, the rabbis, are responsible for this. You robbed us of the shofar, which is our secret weapon, our power on the Yom HaDin. Could it be that shofar that would be matzilenu lahagin lahamlitz v'adenu? It can't be. And therefore we have such a taina that we can rely on the tzaddikim, and they will certainly be our melitzim. We have a great defense, and therefore, since we're observing the Shabbos, we have a guarantee that we'll be zoche b'din. Shabbos, in this case, is going to engender a certain spirit of yontif shachal, yontif shal Rosh Hashanah. Why is it yontif shal Rosh Hashanah? Will definitely, without a doubt, be nichtovim v'nichtovim li'alto l'chaim tovim, because of the melitza, the defense that we have from the Chachamim, who compelled us to observe the Shabbos. And Rabbos, I see over and over again, the message here is clear. This coming Shabbos, as the last Shabbos of the year, the Shabbos that introduces the Kedusha of Rosh Hashanah, is a powerful experience for us, and is going to have a long-range impact on the year to come, in Yitzhak Hashem, if we'll be careful and meticulous about Shmiras Shabbos. And two more pieces from the Gera Rebbeim, and then we'll call it a night, or a day by you. Tosfos asks the question at the beginning of Masechta Shabbos, why is it, Yitzias HaShabbos 2 Shein Arba, that this malacha
of all the 39 malachas was chosen at the beginning of Masechta Shabbos. After all, it's counted as the last of the 39 in the Mishnah. Says the Chidushei Arim al Piderech Hadrush. You'll take a look at Tosis over there, but he says the following, that Shabbos is the place, it's the location of the Jew. Where is a Jew? A Jew is Shabbos. What does that mean? He says, wherever a Jew is, he gravitates to Shabbos. The Gemara says that the Isur of Hotzah on Shabbos is derived from the Pasuk, Al Yetze Ish Mimkomo B'Yom HaShabbos. That drasha means that Hotzah is included here. Shabbos is Sof Maisev HaMachshava Tchila. Ultimately, the Machshava of Shabbos, which is the Reishis, will lead us to the Malach of Hotzah. Because that's the ultimate goal, that we find our Makom. We locate ourselves in the Shabbos. Al Yetze Ish Mimkomo from his Makom of Shabbos. That's Lasos as the Shabbos L'Dorosam. L'Kanes L'Shabbos, we should enter into the Shabbos. V'Lios Kavua B'Shabbos, we should be permanently implanted in Shabbos. L'Makom D'Rosam, the Makom Dira of a Jew is Shabbos. And that's Al Yetze Ish Mimkomo. That's what Shabbos is all about. That's the message inherent in Maleches Hotzah. And the phenomenal message of Shabbos itself. And finally, to conclude with the Sfas Emes for Chodesh Elul, Elul, he says, Zani Lidodi, Vidodi Li. Ani Lidodi, he says. What is Tshuva? What is Elul all about? Al Yidei Zeh, Sha'adam Zocher Ki Hishtaleach, he was sent on a mission, Ba'olam Hazeh, in this world. And what is his mission and its goal? Lasos Ritzono Yisbarach Shmo Bilvad. He should put all his interests and his will and desires as secondary, but primarily he's focused on the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he should not, Chas V'Sholom, be tarud, be allured to Havle Olam Hazeh and forget what's primary in his life. He says that's what tshuva is all about. Tshuva is all about setting our priorities. Ikar hatshuvi lachzor lekabel ol malchus shmaim ol ha'avdus lios muchan lios eved lasos ritzono v'rak ritzono yisbarach. This is what Elul is all about, to dedicate ourselves exclusively to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then he concludes, he says, the im mekablim zeh ha'ol. If we accept that responsibility, b'shleimus, it's ani l'dodi. I am dedicated to the dod, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. U'memela v'dodi li. Our beloved loves us. V'zemis kayim, and how do we fulfill this? B'Shabbos Kodesh, on Shabbos itself. Shabbos Kodesh, Eidus HaShabbos, Lishbos B'kol Malacha. Malachia symbolizes all our involvement in this world, in the mundane, daily, everyday activities, in the Havli Azman, as he calls it. Shabbos is a day of cessation. We cut ourselves off from the rest of the week. Lizkar, to remember, Ki Ikar Shabaranu Lichvodo, God created us for the covet of himself, the covet of Shabbos, the Batzug of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We treat our wife properly, is the covet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the dedication, as we saw in Rabbeir Simcha, to be Moser Nefesh, to give up all our interests and all our concerns and involvements for the sake of Hashem. Shashem Barano Lechvodo. And he concludes his presentation by saying, Remez Ledovar, Haro'eh Shoshanim, in that Pasuk, in Shir HaShirim, is Gematria Shabbos. I didn't calculate this, if you have a chance. Haro'eh b'shoshanim is the Gematria of Shabbos. In any event, Ravosai, I'm open for questions. I just want to present to you an overview, a short synopsis of what we tried to present today. Shabbos has a tremendous power. We enter into the last Shabbos. According to the Chidush HaRim, if Klal Yisrael would observe two Shabbosos, and they are the last two Shabbos of the year, we are guaranteed that the Geula will happen. We already passed Kisavo. We left the clothes behind. Now we're ready for the Shabbos of V'Shavta Ad Hashem Elokecha. V'Shavta means Shabbos of Parshas Nitzavim. Atem Nitzavim Ayom Kulchem. That Krisas Bris of Nitzavim should have a power to propel us from Shabbos into the year to come. We got rid of all the clothes.
Now the Shabbos has inherent within it the Kedusha of all the brachas of Rosh Hashanah, of the Moedim, and of the year to come. And Yirtzeh Hashem, if we take this very seriously to heart, and we're very careful and meticulous about observing the Shabbos, giving kavod to the Shabbos, being dedicated by Mesiras Nefesh to the Shabbos, loving our Batzug, then no doubt Hashem will be V'dodi Li. He will respond to us in turn and grant us a wonderful year, writing us down the altar in the books of the Tzaddikim, L'chaim L'shalom, for us, our families, and all of Klal Yisrael. Amen.
Made of was done as a recognition almost of the importance of Shabbos, and that it somehow Shabbos replaces the Shofar.
Again, Bobby, in a brisker world, I would say no, but in a Hasidish world, I'll tell you this: the Chachamim could not have instituted the Shemi Avireno to forego the mitzvah of shofar. It couldn't be. You know, you want to talk about the mitzvah of lulav? Okay, I'll survive Sukkot without lulav. Bezer Hashem, I'll live in my sukkah for 7 days. You want to talk about experiencing Purim without reading the Megillah? Okay, maybe we'll push off, you know, the reading of the Megillah, we'll start it earlier. But shofar is too powerful. We need shofar so desperately that we cannot, for the sake of one, you know, one yid somewhere down the line is going to forget himself and carry the shofar. We're going to do away with shofar for all generations. I don't know statistically, maybe David Spiegel can help me with the math here. How often does Shabbos coincide with Rosh Hashanah? I think it's something like 40%, no? Tell me if I'm wrong. How can we do it for all Dori Doris? What?
It probably is.
Yeah, it's not unusual. I think if somebody can check this out for me, it's next Rosh Hashanah, I think. If not, it's the one after. So how can they do such a thing? Again, from a Hasidic point of view, I'm not going into Lundus now. And the answer is that Adar Abba Pungfaker, Chazal calculated that if we forego the Shabbos if we forego the shofar, for what purpose? For the sake of Shabbos? Our dedication to Shabbos is so immense and so overwhelming that we're willing to give up on the shofar, our greatest tool, our greatest weapon, bidin, then the Shabbos itself will bring about our mechila. And Rabosai, this is true throughout the entire year, and certainly this year, Parshas Nitzavim, the power within Shabbos is so immense, as Chazal say, Afilu Avad Avodah Zarah Kedor Enosh Mochlo Kol Avodosav. If we appreciate what Shabbos is all about, to take us into a different world, then we're going to begin to sing like Adam Arishon, Mizmar Shir L'Yom HaShabbos, with all the great Kavanah.
Because the truth is that it's always bothered me how the Chachamim could have taken upon themselves to essentially be Mevatel of the Raisa.
Right, but that's Yesh Koch Biad Chacham in the Gemara Yevamos, Lakar Dovin Atar B'Shev B'Shev Yaltas. But you know, even so, they have to make a shikul and weigh the pros and the cons. You know, if you talk about the deficits of giving up on shofar, what we're saying here is that shofar, in addition to being a mitzvah, it's a reality. You know, so if the, as we said before in the mashal, if the cholah doesn't take the medicine, you know, he may not be guilty, but never, he didn't take the medicine. So we need shofar desperately. It must be that Shabbos has within it a certain element of the power of shofar. And I think that's a message that we have to take, not just in the case where Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah coincide, but it's a message that we have to take for every single Shabbos throughout the entire year.
Of course, with Yom HaRitzvah, we never really lose the shofar.
Correct.
Anyway,
Rabbi Osai, thank you so much. Shkoyakodol, thank you so
first
much.
I had a question.
Yeah, Chaim?
I wrote it in the text, but I guess it didn't go through.
Oh, I'm sorry, you may have written it now. I'm looking at the full screen, and there is a way of seeing chat on the full screen. I just don't know how to do that. Let me see. Oh, guess what? My chat is... All right, if you don't mind saying it bal peh and making it to Torah bal peh.
Basically, based on this whole thesis, it's a little odd that we have a halacha that you can't do any bakashas on Shabbos. According to this, it should be the day where bakashas are the most received. If anything, it should be mandatory to do bakashas, not asur.
again, you know, I have a whole discussion which, you know, you could find. I'll even send you a link about this. What does that really mean, and why is it that we don't have bakashas on Shabbos? I mean, there are many, many bakashas that we have on Shabbos, and the question is how to define the Iser bakasha on Shabbos. But you know what I would say, Chaim? You know, we don't need bakashas on Shabbos. Again, I'm giving you a more Hasidish approach. If you want to hear the Lubavitch approach, I'll have to send you the link to a shiur I gave last year about that issue. But on a Hasidish level, if you're open to that, the answer to your question is we don't need bakashas on Shabbos. Adarav, the greatest bakasha that we could have in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam is the fact that we want to experience Shabbos to the fullest. That we want to cut ourselves off from the rest of the week. The rest of the week are days of Pirud, are days of Za'aka, and Tchina, and supplication. That's not Shabbos. We want to experience the Shabbos of Me'ein Olam Haba, and that's antithetical to the Bakashas and Tchinos that were prohibited on Shabbos. But rest assured, and you can sleep well Friday night at Shabbos Day, that the Shabbos and our meticulous observance of Shabbos makes it unnecessary to come forward with bakashas. Those bakashas will just create tsar and za'aka instead of the spirit of Shabbos. The spirit of Shabbos is that this day belongs to a different world in which we're very close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's Me'ein Olam Haba. So I'm gonna say goodbye to you now. Give a shir makis, Masechta Makis. This is not the makkah that one gives to his batzug. I mean, just keep that in mind. This is Masechta Makis. We're going to learn in Ritz Shem the first mission of the third parak, making a siyum in the second parak. And what we're doing is we're really trying to learn as much as we can and be mezaka others to learn in this period of time before Rosh Hashanah, because we need all the, you know, all the brownie points we can get. So I applaud you. For me, this is no big deal, but for you, you know, to take time out of a busy schedule. I know Chaim, you had other commitments today, so you were able to make it, which is amazing. And everyone, you know, so please accept my bracha that b'schus your extra limud Torah, the surplus, the extra push, Hashem should realize, like the Gemara says, that it's an ain't a dumb talmid. You know, he reviews his lessons 100 times, but if he reviews his 100 times, you know, what's the big deal? Because he went beyond. That's the 101, and we're going beyond. And Hashem should look at us favorably with compassion for all of us, and write us down in the Sifrei Chaim for the next year of bracha. Kein yiratzon. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, everybody.
Thank you.